Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I don't know when you are listening to this message. It might be when I originally edit, or it might be at some point in the future. More and more, we're seeing shootings happen all over the United States and hearing about them all over the world. And recently, depending when you're watching this, there was a recent shooting. And regardless of when it happened, the fact is that these random acts happen, and they're happening more and more. But in this particular shooting, there were people that successfully helped to avoid even more mass deaths. But the interesting thing was, at one point, the shooter came face to face with a teenager. And the teenager just said, "I have a family, please don't do this," or something to that. And the shooter just said, "Get away from me." And this was after shooting many other people. And the teenager went away. Of the shooting, I think 3 people died, and there were 4 or 5 people that were injured. The shooter approached a lot more people. Some of them either didn't get hit by the bullets, or the shooter chose not to shoot them. Why am I saying all of this? Well, there were several people in this situation that decided to not wait for law enforcement and take situations into their hand, and they pulled out some type of firearm to stop the shooter. In some cases, they literally could have ran the other way and been free out of any area of where the shooter was, but they decided to stay in a danger area and risk their life to help save others. No matter where you stand in this story, one of the people that were injured, one of the people that got away from the situation, or one of the people that the shooter spoke to directly and looked at but didn't shoot at, there were people that put their lives on the line for these people to survive this situation. Sadly, not everyone did, but some did. The fact that some didn't makes the situation even more dramatic. And the point of everything I'm saying right now is, I can guarantee that teenager that came face to face with that shooter, those people that were shot at and the bullets missed them, those people that were shot up and the bullets hit them but they still survived, I can guarantee those people will remember and talk about this story for the rest of their life. And with great appreciation, they will be thankful to those that tried and successfully helped the situation not get any worse for the rest of their life. Have you ever been in a situation where your life was on the line, and some people call it a near-death experience? Some people call it a miracle. They should have died, but they didn't. Forget about your life on the line. There are situations where one step will just make you fall on the floor and it jolts you, and you could realize the situation and be thankful that wasn't you. The point I'm trying to make here is there are situations in our lives that are unforgettable. And it's not only experiences we have had, it's experiences others have had. If we've been married for a long time, in a successful marriage, and our longtime spouse passes away, one of our children passes away, our best friend passes away, we remember that person. Pictures, stories, thoughts. Our parents, our siblings. When someone dies, sometimes without any mass shooting or heroic action, we remember that because it's very personal to us. So my question today is, Yeshua literally died for us, literally. And when we hear that, what does that mean? How do we look at that or think about that? How often have we accepted what he did for us? What did it change your life and how? Let's look at some scripture and get into this. John 3:16-17 says, "For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but the world should be saved through him." So there's a word in the scripture to think about. Gave. Gave. Yahweh's love wasn't merely spoken. Yahweh's love resulted in action. He gave. He gave. Biblical love sacrifices. The problem today is when we think about the death of Yeshua, or the problem is we don't think about the death of Yeshua. We've heard it so often. We don't have that personal relationship on that level. We don't have that same, I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life attitude. We don't have the same emotion when people talk about a loved one that was lost. We don't have the same desire to tell the story as we would if our life was just about to be over, but either somebody saved our life or the person that was going to take it changed his mind the last second. Why? Why do we have a Savior who literally died for us? Why don't we talk about that more like we would in those other situations? We have a Savior who died for us. Why don't we tell people? Why don't we get emotional when we think about it? Not as a show, but just as a, wow. I still can't believe this happened. Sometimes we begin our walk asking, what does Yahweh want me to do? But first ask instead, what has Yahweh already done for me? Before talking about and thinking about obedience and sacrifice and service, baptisms and evangelism and surrendering, we need to really remember his love for us. There's no act greater than giving up your life for someone else. And Yeshua, the one they called Jesus, did that for us. Romans 5:6-8 says, "For while we were weak, at the right time, Yeshua died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man. Yet, perhaps for a good person, someone would even dare to die. But Yahweh commands his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Yeshua died for us." While we were yet sinners, you see, Yeshua didn't even wait for us until we deserved him. He didn't wait until we fixed ourselves. He came while we were broken, while we were lost. We were weak. We are sinners. And he died for us anyway. Have I become so familiar with the cross that I stopped being amazed by it? That my heart stopped thinking about that? One of my favorite songs says, "Light the fire that you did when I first believed." And it means the flame can go out, the flame can die. But why? Why was it die? When we hear love and we think about Yeshua did with us, and when we think about the cross and what happened, we need to Something is wrong. We need to, why aren't I feeling this? I need to pull over and on the side of the road and just stop a second and think, wow, the creator of everything chose me. Wow. John 15, verses 12 to 13 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another even as one has loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Yeshua didn't just tell us he loved us. He demonstrated it. It's not just words and emotions and feelings. It's about sacrificing and giving and serving. And this is what Yeshua did. Look at John 3:16 again. By the way, we love because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. 1 John 3:16. So you have John 3:16, Yahweh gave him for us. You have 1 John 3:16. By this we know love. Love, love, love. Look at the progression. He loved us. He gave himself, and his love changes us. We're not trying to repay Yeshua back. We couldn't repay him back. Instead, our love should become an expression of gratitude. I don't obey Yeshua so he will love me. I desire to obey him because he has already demonstrated how much he loves me. Do we understand that? Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no one would boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Yeshua Messiah, for good works, which Yahweh prepared before that we would walk in them. Everything is order when it comes to scripture, and the enemy tries to take things out of order. That's where we get confused and lost. But if we follow the order of our Creator, his promises are waiting for us. And notice the order, what we looked at in Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. Grace, salvation, transformation, and good works. Not good works earn salvation. Good works aren't the price of salvation. They should become the fruit of salvation. Titus 2, verse 11 and 12 says, for the grace of Yahweh has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we would live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. The key word here for us to look at is instructing us. Grace doesn't say you've been forgiven, so continue living however you want. Grace teaches to reject ungodliness, reject worldly desires, live righteously, and live differently. That's what set apart means, set apart. That's what holy is, being set apart, being different. Now ask yourself, how has Yahweh's grace simply changed what you believe or how you live? If we truly love Yeshua, yes, maybe we should be willing to die for him, but we should at least be willing to be obedient for him, right? We should at least be willing to follow his advice and his suggestions. It's like his last dying message. He's telling us, read the word and follow it. And what did he say in John 14, verse 15? If you love me, keep my commandments. Love, obedience. You see the order? And this is why it's so important to remember the love what Yeshua did for us. A lot of so-called believers out there have no issue with the love part. But if it's not equaling a desire for obedience, the question should really be, is that true love? Are they really in love? If they are, why aren't they being obedient? Why aren't they seeking that? We can easily say, I love God. But Yeshua takes love beyond words. Our lives should demonstrate what our mouths proclaim. I'm not saying to go out there and stop a mass murderer or just stand somewhere with a gun and wait to save people. I am saying be obedient to our Creator's guidelines and instructions. Yes, keep the commandments, not for your salvation, but for your love. I don't keep the commandments to receive salvation. I already received that through Yeshua. I keep them because I love Yeshua and I trust him and I trust the model he set for me to live. And he demonstrated that. It's the obedience that expresses our love towards our Creator. 1 John 5, 2-3 says, by this we know that we love the children of Yahweh. When we love Yahweh and keep his commandments, for this is the loving Elohim, the loving God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. If someone is consistently asking, do I really have to, or what's the minimum, or how much can I get away with? Does God really care if I do this, or if I don't follow his words? Does he really accept obedience? Maybe the deeper issue isn't Yahweh's commandments if you're asking yourself that. Maybe you need to understand Yahweh's love more deeply. Right? You know, a lot of people get ruffled up when I say, well, I keep the commandments of the original testament, the original covenant. I do my best to follow. Well, we don't need to do that. The law is done away with. We don't need to follow those things. Yeshua did away with that. First of all, that's not what my scriptures say. Second of all, I'm in love. I'm not just saying it. I want to follow this. You know, if a little kid sees a basketball or a football player he likes, he wants to grow up and be like that sports character. He's in love. He wants to be like that, and sometimes he'll work his whole life to get to that point. So we need to look at Yeshua like that. I want to be like him. You don't need no Michael Jordan posters in little kids' rooms. You need pictures of Yeshua. No, we're not talking about what he really looked like. We're talking about the idea of who are we looking up to? Who do we really love? Who do our children love? Yahweh showed us what love is through his son Yeshua. And we could at least, show him the respect by listening to him. Ask yourself, do you see Yahweh's instructions as burdens or as instructions coming from the Father who loves you? Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of Yahweh, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is good, well-pleasing, and perfect of Yah. Notice the order again and notice what he's talking about here. And notice the importance of this topic. By the mercies of Yah, by the mercies of God, not sacrifice yourself so God will show you mercy. No, by the mercies of God. God has shown you mercy, therefore give yourself to him. That's it. A living sacrifice. My life belongs to him. My time, my body, my plans, my gifts, everything, it's his. Yeshua isn't asking us to become part of, isn't asking merely to become part of my life. He's calling me to surrender my life to him. That's what we need to remember. In Luke 9:23, to 24, it says, "He said to all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever denies to save his life will lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake will save it.'" Three works: deny, take, and follow. Following Yeshua means there will be times when my will conflicts with his will. What happens then? That's where surrender becomes real. Here's a question to ask yourself. Father, what do you want from me, from my life today? And see what it says. See what the answer is. Go back to the love of Yeshua and what he did for us. But also go back to the mass shooting that we spoke about and remembering what he did for us. So there's two things: what he did for us. Why have we forgotten what he's done for us? Why have we forgotten that? And then two, what he actually did. So these two things here: what he did, and why don't we remember what he did if it's so powerful? And you might say, well, I remember what he did. Well, I mean, there's many different ways to show your love, but obedience is clearly a way. Studying the word, learning everything about somebody, is clearly obvious. If a young man loves a young woman, and there are a lot of people that know them, they say, well, it's very obvious that this young man's in love with this young woman, or vice versa. Romans 6 verses 3 and 4 says, "Don't you know that all who were baptized in Yeshua were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with Yeshua through baptism unto death, that just as the Messiah was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in the newness of life." Baptism shouldn't merely mean something Christians do. It represents something so much more profound. The old life has been buried. Now we're identifying ourselves with Yeshua's death, burial, and resurrection. A new life. And love is the key, the answer. And we hear that. We hear love, love, love. I use New Agers, they say to me, oh, it's all about love. It's all about love. If you're not remembering Yeshua, what he did on the cross for us, you have to question your love. If you're thinking about something, anything more than that, you need to question your love. Yeshua died for us. Literally, took us, broken. Waited patiently for us. Had every single power in the world and came to our level. What belongs to that old life of yours? The rebellion and selfishness? Living entirely for yourselves? Putting your will above Yahweh's will? Sin no longer owns me. The world doesn't own me. My old life doesn't own me. I belong to Yeshua. And I'm not afraid to tell the world about this, because I never forget what his love demonstrated for me. And I want everyone to experience this great, amazing feeling. I no longer live for the approval of others. I live for Yeshua, for what he did for me. And I will not be ashamed to get the word out and let people know. What I do not to please my flesh. I do it to please him. And he speaks to me through the word. My life belongs to Yeshua. Galatians says in 2:20, "I have been crucified with Yeshua, and it is no longer that I live, but Yeshua who lives in me. That life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of Yah, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Notice the personal language. Loved me, gave himself up for me. Not merely Yeshua died for the world. Yeshua gave himself up for me. Now, ask yourself, what am I doing with the life that Yah has given me? Am I living for myself or for him? What am I still refusing to surrender? Has comfort become more important than obedience? Has following Yeshua become a religion, or is he truly Lord of my life? I close with this scripture in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in all your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Remember that. The love of Yeshua changes everything. Everything. His love produces gratitude. His grace produces transformation. His gratitude produces surrender. Love produces obedience. Faith produces action. And understanding and sacrifice gives us the courage to stand for him. Bam! That's it right there. Go stand, speak. Tell the world, however you can, about how you understand what love is now, thanks to what Yeshua did and demonstrated love. That Yeshua demonstrated many different acts in his life, but the greatest was the act of love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have a blessed day, brothers and sisters, and shalom, shalom. I want to remind you that I'm on at 6:30 in the morning and 6:30 in the evening, Monday to Friday, and Saturdays at noon here on WCNO. But you can see my messages anytime on my YouTube channel, Torah Life Ministries. My website is TorahLifeMinistries.org. Thank you for listening, and truly appreciate your support and prayers for this ministry. And to be able to stay on the radio here at WCNO, I do not take that lightly. It's a very special privilege to be able to share the word with you every day during the week. And thank you for listening. Come
out of the world. You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah
Life. Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.